What must I do? What must I do? That is a question that has been reverberating around the minds of so many people in the last 10 days following the disaster in South Asia. What must I do? The person on the water's edge in Indonesia, in Thailand, in Sri Lanka, in India, even as far away as Kenya and Somalia. What must I do just to survive? The survivors as they looked for their missing family members. Those are poignant pictures on the news of people scouring that collage of photos on a wall. What must I do to find my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife? The relief agencies trying to get aid to Bandar Aceh, the far tip of Indonesia, but encountering overstretched airport networks, washed away road networks. 2 days ago, encountering a holdup after a plane crashed into a buffalo on the runway of the main airport. What must I do to quickly and efficiently get aid to those that need it? And ourselves too, us here in the West, here in the UK, as the British public have been moved by the scenes of devastation. So we too have found ourselves saying, what must I do? What must I do in response to all that has taken place? And rightly, people have been giving financially to help those who have suffered in this disaster. Now, the parable of the Good Samaritan, it speaks right into this situation, doesn't it? I mean, look at the last verse of our reading. Jesus, he's finished telling the most famous of parables. And then he says to the expert in the law, do you see what he says? Verse 37, right at the bottom of the page. Verse 37, Jesus says to the expert in the law, he says, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Go and be like the Good Samaritan. What must I do? I must, our first point, show Samaritan love and mercy to others. Now, I was glad to see that me and the Queen, that we had the same idea about what to speak about. I mean, I decided back in November that on this first lunchtime service of the new year that I would speak on this parable. And the Queen, too, in her Christmas Day speech, many of you will have probably have watched it on Christmas Day, she mentioned and talked about the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I think it's very, very applicable to what has happened since, isn't it? Let me quote from what the Queen said in her speech on Christmas Day, the day before the tsunami struck. I won't try and mimic her voice, but this is what she said. The Queen said this. She said, for me, as a Christian, one of the most important of these teachings is contained in the parable of the Good Samaritan, when Jesus answers the question, who is my neighbor? It's a timeless story of a victim of a mugging who was ignored by his own countrymen, but helped by a foreigner and a despised foreigner at that. The implication drawn by Jesus is clear. Everyone is our neighbor, no matter what race, creed, or color. And the Queen's right with what she says there. Everyone is our neighbor, no matter what race, creed, or color. And so it's been great to see so many people giving so generously to the disaster appeal. Here there's an opportunity, if you haven't already given, to give to Tear Funds Appeal at the end with a retiring collection. Tear Funds, a Christian charity. It's one of the 12 aid agencies that are sharing out the money that is received by the Disaster Emergency Committee. So do, if you'd like to, give to them. And there are gift aid forms and envelopes at the back if you'd like to make your giving tax efficient as well. Yet if we just left it at this, well, where would we be? Where would we be? Giving money, it is a good thing to do. But let's face it, however much money is raised, it's never going to solve all the problems of the tsunami, let alone all the problems of this world. If the tsunami has taught us anything, it has taught us that life is fragile, that we don't know when it is going to end. The last thing those tourists in Phuket would have thought as they basked in the early morning sun on their dream holiday was that they were going to die. If this tsunami has taught us anything, it has taught us that life is fragile. So let's think a little more about this hero of the parable that Natalie has just read for us, the Good Samaritan. We forget today how hated and how much contempt was shown towards Samaritans by the Jews. Samaritans, they were publicly cursed in synagogues. Some rabbis said that a Jewish beggar should not even accept money from a Samaritan because the money was contaminated. So our parable, it'd be a bit like a Osama bin Laden coming across a beaten up George Bush and showing him great love and mercy. It's a challenge for each of us here. Sacrificial and unconditional love for our neighbor, for anybody and everybody, no matter what creed, race, class. There's a Peanuts cartoon where Charlie Brown's standing there, he's got his hands on his hips and he says, "Of course I love the human race. Of course I love the human race. I just can't stand Lucy." But the thing is that Lucy is the measure of Charlie Brown's love. It's easy to say that we love the human race at a general scale. It's relatively easy to give money to the tsunami appeal. But love is also about the particular, the individual. Love your neighbor. It's in the singular. And I'm sure each of us, we can think of Lucy-like characters, people that we can't stand in our families, in our workplaces. And we find it far more difficult to act like the Good Samaritan to them than we do towards the tsunami sufferers. I know I find it far more difficult. To be brutally frank, none of us here have perfectly shown the Samaritans love and mercy. We all fail when it comes to being like the Good Samaritan. And that leads us to our second point this lunchtime. Receive the Samaritan love and mercy of Jesus. I'd like to ask you a question at this point, the answer to which I was really struck by, really surprised by, as I was preparing for this talk. The question's this: which character in the parable do you think Jesus wants the expert in the law to identify himself with? Which person in the parable? Have a look at verse 29, just before the start of the parable. The expert in the law, he asks, "And who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" But after telling the parable, Jesus says, verse 36, if you look down towards the bottom of the page, verse 36, Jesus says, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" So you've got the three, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. They're identified by Jesus as possible neighbors. And the expert in the law, he has said, "Who is my neighbor?" So if the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan could be his neighbor, that makes the expert in the law, it makes him in the parable, it makes him the half-dead, beaten-up man on the roadside. You see, first and foremost, Jesus doesn't want the expert in the law thinking, "Am I like the priest, or am I really like the Good Samaritan?" Rather, first and foremost, Jesus wants this man to realize that he is like the man sprawled out on the ground, half dead, in need of rescue and help. And that fits with the context of what is going on. Just look at the initial question that the expert in the law asks in the first verse of our reading, verse 25. Look at the initial question that the expert in the law asks. He says, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" What must I do? It's the same question we had at the start. What must I do? Not what must I do to survive the wave, or what must I do to find my missing relatives, or what must I do in response to the disaster I see on the other side of the world, but what must I do? The most crucial question of all. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus is saying there is nothing you can do to inherit eternal life. If you did manage to, verse 27, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, if you did all that perfectly, if you could do that, then you would inherit the eternal life, but you can't. No one can. No human can. Spiritually speaking, you expert in the law, you are that half-dead man on the gutter, helpless, with no means of rescuing yourself, no means of inheriting eternal life. You are as good as dead. You need rescuing by a good Samaritan. Now, Jesus, he doesn't mention himself in the parable, but you could say that he is the ultimate good Samaritan. His love is unconditional and sacrificial. He came down from his own comforts of heaven to earth. He came to die on a cross for us, for our sins. He came to heal and restore us, just as the Samaritan healed and restored the beaten up man. We all, just like the expert in the law, first and foremost, we need to receive the Samaritan love and mercy of Jesus. And you see, Christians are quite simply people who've done that. People who recognize that we are helpless spiritually, with nothing to recommend ourselves before God, but who have accepted the offer of spiritual restoration from Jesus. Christians are like Michael Ludlow, who was in Thailand when the tsunami struck. He was washed off his bed and he hit the ceiling. He was sucked through the back wall of his apartment. He grabbed hold of a tree, but then it broke. His legs were deeply lacerated. He was a half-dead man. But then his life was saved when a stranger plucked him from the water. And if you are here today as someone who is not yet a Christian, well, you need the Samaritan love and mercy of Jesus just as much as anyone else. Just as much as that expert in the law. Just as much as Michael Ludlow needed to be plucked from that water. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Receive the Samaritan love and mercy of Jesus. Just before we close, look again, if you will, at Jesus' very last words to the expert in the law. Verse 37. Verse 37, at the bottom of the page, Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." You see, really, we should swap round our two points that we've been looking at this lunchtime. The second point, receiving Samaritan love and mercy from Jesus, that is the spur. It is the spur to the first point of showing Samaritan love and mercy to others. We love others because Christ Jesus first loved us. Christians, that is the challenge for us. Showing mercy and love is an important aspect of being a follower of Jesus. Now, of course, it's not the only aspect of being a follower of Jesus. If you were just to look at the passage before the parable of the Good Samaritan, if you just flick back over the page to the beginning of chapter 10, you'll see the beginning of chapter 10, the emphasis there is all on witness and evangelism. It's Jesus sending out the 72 disciples on a mission trip, as it were. So the emphasis there is on witness and evangelism. Then you've got our passage, a parable of the Good Samaritan, as we turn over, the emphasis there on showing love and mercy. Then at the end of chapter 10, you'll see there we've got Martha and Mary. Martha and Mary, and the emphasis there is on listening to the teaching of Jesus. And then as we go into chapter 11, we see Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray. The emphasis there is on prayer. So we've got witness, teaching, prayer. But we also have showing practical love and mercy to others. Let's not forget that. So we need to show mercy and love to others here on a Thursday lunchtime at All Souls. Perhaps that means looking out for the people that we don't know, introducing ourselves to them, seeing if they're new here. Perhaps that means offering practical help to someone. Offering to pray with someone, perhaps if they're struggling, they're going through a difficulty at work or at home. And we need too, Christians, to be showing mercy and love to others in our offices and places of work. Perhaps that means offering to help the colleague who is totally swamped with work. Perhaps that means offering to help the colleague who isn't performing satisfactorily, taking time to help them grasp how to do something rather than just enjoying the fact that we're performing better than them. Perhaps that means being interested in our colleagues' lives outside of work, offering help where people are struggling with things at home or where there are traumas or tragedies or difficulties. I'm sure you can think of other ways too. But Christians, please let's remember as we close that perhaps the greatest way that we can show Samaritan love and mercy is to explain to our work colleagues about Jesus and his offer of eternal life. You see, it may be that some of our colleagues, they don't seem to have any problems at all. They seem very sorted, absolutely fine, with not a care in the world. Perhaps we're the ones who are struggling far more than they are. Yet each and every person we work with, every single one, needs to receive the Samaritan love and mercy of Jesus. Spiritually speaking, everybody, everyone, no exceptions, everyone is that spiritually half-dead man on the roadside. And that's why we have here Christianity Explored courses. That's why we're having our half-hour lunch in 2 weeks' time. That's why every week at All Souls, the aim is that it is a place of love and mercy, both in action, but also in our words, as we aim for each talk to be geared to those who are investigating Jesus, as well as geared to those of us who have already been rescued by Jesus. Let's close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we do pray again that practical love and mercy can be shown to all those who have suffered from the tsunami. We pray that you would help all the aid agencies in their work. But above all, we pray, Lord, that each one of us here and all the many that have been affected by the tsunami, that we would all receive the Samaritan love and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.